Blog Talk Radio.
Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. No place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry. Be happy.
All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on the first day of the year, January 1st, 2015. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, we're going to shake things up a little bit today, do things a bit differently. This will be a live call-in show, and I'm going to be asking all of you, what are your goals for 2015? If you have a goal you want to talk about or have a question or comment, you can certainly call in at area code 516-387-1823. I say again, 516-387-1823. That's also the listen line, so if you don't have a question or comment and you hear me click on and say your area code, just remain silent. You don't need to say anything. And we do have our first caller here. Caller from area code 315, if you have a question or comment, speak up. Otherwise, just remain silent. So here we are. Okay, that caller just wants to hold. Thank you. And that's why this will work. It's a bit confusing, I know, but since I don't have an engineer, I have to do this myself. What a year 2014 was, past tense. It's over, but the new year is here. This time last year, the economic prognosticators, people like Gerald Celente and others, respected prognosticators, were giving these dire predictions about the United States economy collapsing near the end of the first quarter of 2014, which obviously clearly did not happen. We're hearing similar predictions now by many of the same people, not necessarily pointing to the end of the first quarter, but pointing to 2015 as a year where there's going to be severe economic crisis. Well, I'm not an economist. I'm a homicide detective and a radio talk show host. I am not an economist. I do understand and do recognize the value of the warnings, the fact that these things could happen Absolutely, that could happen. So my advice, my standing advice, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is to educate yourself, comprehend these matters, incorporate what you feel the urgency might be to deal with these matters into your own life, and then prepare accordingly with prudent preparations. As I sometimes say, don't throw the children and wife and everything in the minivan and take off for the forest. That would be a pretty foolish thing to do. But it would be wise to begin an earnest search, if you will, quest to have a safe haven for yourself and your family. Ideally, a hobby farm. Now, what is a hobby farm? Well, first of all, a hobby farm, by definition, is not something you're making money to live on. It's a place where the agricultural activity is meant mostly for personal consumption, possibly some sales of things that you end up producing too much of. For example, if you're raising goats and you have an excess of goat milk, you can sell off the goat milk. You're not going to make a living off of it, but rather than waste it, go ahead and sell it. Too many tomatoes, you can sell or give away the tomatoes. Likewise with any other agricultural product from a hobby farm. A hobby farm could be 3 acres or 5 acres or 20 or 40 or even larger. There's no set size of a hobby farm. There was a book written, it's been 20 plus years ago. I think the title of it is 5 Acres and Freedom, or 5 Acres to Freedom. I'm not sure of the title. But the book goes into some detail about how to be totally self-sufficient in terms of all agricultural food products with a 5-acre plot of land. And there's other similar books, of course, that you can get your hands on and get the foundational knowledge you need to establish a hobby farm. That, in fact, has been the decision of many of the U.S. Navy veterans retiring since 1979, men and women who were at the classified briefings and made the decision that when they retire, they're going to move to the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, buy their 3 acres, 5 acres, 10, whatever it might be, and set up a hobby farm for themselves and start a new career. We have a call here from area code 31307. Do you have a question or comment, or just want to listen? Okay, this caller just wants to listen. That's fine. We'll put them back on hold. Call number is 516-387-1823. The foundational work that I've done, beginning in the late winter, early spring of year 2000, 15 years ago, has been to figure out what in the world's going on with this Planet X matter. It's quite a while ago, 15 years ago. I was approached by two friends of mine, both independent researchers. Neither one knew the other was approaching me to inform me about what would be happening in the future, that there would be violently rising ocean levels flooding all coastal areas, that the United States would be split in two at the Mississippi River with a new inland sea, 100, 200 miles wide, 100, 200 feet deep. That there would be a period of time, possibly a day or two, with 200 mile an hour winds, and other things such as dramatic increase in violent earthquake activity in volcanoes when these things really kicked in, all due to a consequence of a planetary-sized object moving through our solar system called Planet X, Wormwood, Nibiru. There's about 20 different names from different cultures from the past 3,600 years for this object. So I listened to these men patiently, and I thought to myself, this is really a strange story, but I know just the person to go to. So I went to a friend of mine who's connected to the lettered agencies, as we say. I told him the story, and he said, "Well, John, that's really a strange story, but I'll check it out for you." He gets back with me 3 or 4 weeks later after checking out, and he says, "Yes, it's exactly what you said it is. The government's known about this since 1979. The government's been getting ready for it since 1979. Yes, it is real." That's when my research began in earnest. There's a caller on hold here from area code 540. If you want to remain silent, just do so. Otherwise, what's your question or comment?
Morning, John. Okay. Jeff, Virginia.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
I had just clicked on to you, so I hear you're speaking of your global warming video there, and it's
right.
Funny you should see that because I wondered if you had seen the videos that has come out, the 500 days until global or climate chaos. Have you seen that one yet?
I haven't seen it. That's the title of it, 500 days till global chaos.
Yes, if you YouTube it, 500 days until, and when you hit until, it'll come up, and it's the first video, an hour and 16 minutes. It's got a lot of 2014, everything just happened, and then it's got three segments of Paul Bagley on there speaking to that mic from around the world. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not, but the guy seems like he's got some type of government job. He's intel somewhere.
Okay.
He speaks very in depth of what's supposedly coming down with this, and it's worth a look anyway. I don't know how.
Okay.
Much
well, it sounds like something to check out, Jeff. Yeah.
Definitely.
So, do you have any New Year's resolutions, Jeff?
No, sir. Looking forward for the Lord to come back.
Okay, well, that's not a bad goal. All right. Okay. Anything else, Jeff, this morning?
No, sir. I just appreciate
right.
everything.
Well, thank you.
And,
we'll put you back on hold. Yes.
Oh, something else I wanted to tell you real quick.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The one in college here was telling you about those laser targets.
Right.
Okay. Well, the target, it was okay. I wasn't impressed with it. But look up the brass bullet that's got three button batteries in it, and you put it into your gun. It's got rubber O-rings on it. You insert it into your gun, and you just pull the hammer back and dry fire it, and it shoots a laser light out momentarily each time, and a very good practice bullet.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can get them on Amazon.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. And the call number, if you have a question or comment, is area code 516-387-1823. Well, we're back to the early summer of 2000, 15 years ago, when I began my research into the 10th planet. Things were going along pretty well, and in the summer of 2000, before everything changed. I was having lunch with a friend of mine I served with in U.S. Army Special Forces, and he's a dual service veteran, also was a Navy SEAL. And during the course of our discussion and having lunch, I'm telling him about the effects of Planet X, and then he commences spontaneously to start telling me about a classified briefing he attended in 1985. We're looking at 30 years ago at this point in time. At that classified briefing the U.S. Navy put on, he was told the following: "Gentlemen, during your lifetimes, not your children's or grandchildren's, during your lifetimes, these oceans are going to come out of their basins, flooding all coastal areas worldwide." And he was shown a map of North America with new coastlines. Well, we had our discussion, and later that evening I was at home, and I had a flash of brilliance that should have happened while I was with him, but it took a few hours for it to sink in, that he and I were talking about the same thing. He was talking about the effect, and I was talking about the cause. Neither one of us figured it out while we were talking to each other. So I called him up that evening and I said, we need to get together. I need to figure out this map that you saw. So over the course of the next few weeks, he worked with me to recreate classified map he saw in that classified U.S. Navy briefing in 1985. It was only a few weeks later, around, I'm going to say, August. It may have been September. It was probably September. One of my concealed carry classes that I teach, I had a retired U.S. Navy submarine officer. And we met during that class. I set up an appointment with him the following week. And I asked him about the Navy map that he saw at the classified briefing. He said, John, I signed a 5-year non-disclose agreement. I've been out 3 years. I could lose my pension if I tell you what I know. So I said, he's since deceased, by the way. He contracted cancer, which I think it was pancreatic cancer, but these Navy veteran submariners, especially from back in that period of time, have way too high levels of cancer. I said, well, Steve, can you blink your eyes once for yes and twice for no? And he laughed, and we went ahead and talked, and he helped make the second revisions to the map that I'd started with my friend, the map showing North America with new coastlines. As things would have it, synchronicity kicking in, no doubt. Within a week or so, I got a call from a friend of mine who at the time was a college professor. He said, John, would you come and speak to my class on international relations about terrorism? I said, sure, I can do that. So I came down and to speak to the college class on international relations, and there was another speaker there. I wasn't told there'd be another speaker speaking on the same topic, a retired military intelligence officer. So we spoke to the students about terrorism, and myself, the retired officer, the college professor, and the intelligence officer's wife, we all went to a pizza parlor in Rolla, Missouri, where the college is located. So we're sitting at a four-top table. The retired intelligence officer is directly across from me. His wife is at my right elbow. My friend, the college professor, is catty-corner from me. During the course of having pizza and getting to know each other, I found out that this officer did a 3-year tour of duty with the U.S. Navy Submarine Corps. Not unusual. It's since the disaster we had at Grenada, the invasion of Grenada, the services have been swapping officers back and forth so they can learn each other's cultures and language. You know, the languages have grown so disparate between one from the other that they couldn't even talk to each other when we invaded Grenada. Once I found that out, that he did three or two of duty with the Submarine Corps, I had to ask him a question. I said, tell me what you know about rising ocean levels. Before he can speak, his wife speaks up. She's sitting right next to me. She says, well, John, we're getting ready to retire. It's our last tour of duty. We're at the Pentagon. We have to pick a place to retire. We picked the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks because of rising ocean levels. Well, I knew I'd hit pay dirt at that point. I immediately made an appointment to meet with him the following week at a Steak and Shake restaurant there in Rolla to help me with this map. A week later, we met. My wife was with me. We had lunch, and he made the third and final revisions of the map that these Navy veterans have been seeing since 1979 and are still seeing at these classified briefings. It'll be, about 5 years ago this spring that someone published a map on the Internet. If you do a Google search for a Navy map, it'll come up. It is not the Navy map. It's basically Gordon Michael Scallion's map. Gordon Michael Scallion is a fairly well-known psychic. He published his map showing North America with new coastlines and inland sea in the mid-1980s, about 1985 or 1986. The real map is the one that's on my DVD for sale at my website, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. That's the real map that has been duplicated by the men who were at the classified briefings. Let me give you a verbal description of that map, if I can. Beginning at the border of Maine and Canada, and going south on the Atlantic coast. Typically, you find damage 80 to 100 miles inland. A lot of the East Coast is very low altitude. The Navy says, before we go any farther, that anything 400 feet or lower, 400 feet above sea level or lower, is at risk of being flooded. So going down the eastern seaboard, you have areas where basically, let's say between Boston and Washington, D.C., more than 80 million people live there, an incredibly densely populated area. Basically one large city between Washington, D.C. and Boston in terms of how congested it is. Most of that will be underwater. Of course, the major cities along that coast will be gone. Boston, New York, and so forth, Washington, D.C., will be wiped out. The Navy says that going farther south in the Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina area, that the East Coast will take damage up to the Blue Ridge Parkway. Now, the Blue Ridge Parkway is a very scenic highway, especially popular with tourists in the fall when the leaves are changing colors. Typically runs about 100 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. Moving farther south from there, we've got South Carolina, Georgia, and going down to Florida. Florida was mostly going to be gone. Most of Florida, as we know it, will no longer exist. There might be some isolated areas in the Panhandle that aren't underwater, but for the most part, Florida will be gone, which brings us to the Gulf Coast. Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. The Gulf states, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, will take damage typically 100 plus miles inland, 80 to 100 miles. Most of Louisiana is going to be underwater, by the way. Louisiana has, the majority of Louisiana is very low altitude. Which brings us to the Mississippi River. The new mouth of the Mississippi River, where it meets the Gulf of Mexico, will be at the current Louisiana-Arkansas state line. In fact, right now, you can hardly get within 80 miles of the Gulf of Mexico before you no longer see freshwater fish. You see saltwater fish in the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River itself will be 100 to 200 miles wide, 100 to 200 feet deep, splitting the country in two. You don't have bridges across rivers 100 miles wide. You don't. Now, the weight, the U.S. Navy scientists say the weight of the water on the New Madrid seismic zone will trigger 3 9-point-plus earthquakes. That will be devastating to the heartland. The majority of that energy goes north, south, and east, not very efficiently west. There is major cities north and south, north, south, and east of the New Madrid seismic zone. St. Louis north, Memphis south, and Indianapolis and other cities east. It will be devastating. The country will be split in two, literally split in two, at the Mississippi River. It's interesting to note that United States Northern Command, U.S. NORTHCOM, which is, well, I guess at this point, 8 or 10 years old, at beginning about 5 years ago, shortly after it had been brought into existence, U.S. NORTHCOM was split east-west at the Mississippi River. My friend Command Sergeant Major Dan Page was at one of the initial briefings talking about it being split. They weren't told why, They were told it would happen, and he just sat there smiling to himself because I'd already briefed him as to why. It is a smart thing to do. It's certainly a lot easier to split U.S. Northcom now while all the bridges are up and running than it would be after the country split in two. So that is, quite frankly, a smart thing to do. Let's go to the West Coast. We've got massive population centers very near the ocean. San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, and so forth. They'll all be underwater. That's where most of the people live, by the way, on the West Coast, is in these densely populated areas very near the ocean. They'll all be underwater. Some parts of the West Coast get pretty high altitude pretty quick. Others go pretty far inland, 80 to 100 miles. The San Andreas Fault will probably kick off, triggering one or more disastrous earthquakes. The whole planet's going to ring like a bell, by the way, when this thing happens. The whole planet. Moving north, the Vancouver, Canada, and the Canadian Pacific Coast in Alaska, all those coastal areas will be underwater also. 80% of the world's population lives near a major body of water. That's reality. That's reality. This has happened before. The archaeology is, with modern technology, underwater surveillance equipment, is constantly finding man-made objects under the ocean. In the Caribbean Sea, in the Mediterranean, off the east coast of the United States. In fact, it's fascinating to see where Google Earth has blocked out sections of the ocean. It's clearly blocked out. Why is it blocked out? Because the water is so shallow and so clear that the satellite imagery shows structures with right angles. Nature doesn't like or make much use of right angles. But that's what you see, or would see, I should say, if Google Earth didn't block out those areas. So this has happened before. I was introduced to a Messianic rabbi. Oh, this has been quite a few. This is about 2009 or so, I guess. About a year after my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, came out. And he was giving a presentation about these earth changes and the cyclical nature of human beings occupying this planet. A woman approached him and asked him if he had gotten some of his information from John Moore. And he said, "Who's John Moore?" She hands him a copy of my DVD. He watches it and calls me up. And we got to know each other. We visited a number of times on the telephone. And he says, "John, I reached the same conclusions that you did, not by locating and debriefing Navy veterans. I reached my conclusions by reading the Torah, the Old Testament. When I read and studied the Torah, it was one of those aha moments where I discovered the cyclical nature of human beings occupying this planet." And it is. Cyclical. One of my friends, a researcher, he studied extensively archaeology, and he's produced some DVDs himself. He came to understand that when you go back 3,600 years in human history, you find where several civilizations, where advanced civilizations, came to an end, and new civilizations, less advanced, started after them. When you go back 7,200 years, the same thing. When you go back 3,600 years before that, the same thing. And that's what, it flies in the face of what we're taught in public schools and actually universities about human beings and our living on this planet and levels of technology we've achieved. What you're supposed to believe is once you get about 5,000-6,000 years BC, that our ancestors could grunt instead of having a spoken language, had no written language, no knowledge of advanced mathematics, so forth. What you find instead, however, is exactly the opposite. There's evidence all around us, even in your local grocery store. There is a grain called spelt, S-P-E-L-T, Sierra, Papa, Echo, Lima, Tango, spelt. Many grocery stores these days, because of people searching for gluten-free products, are getting loaves of bread made from spelt. Well, scientists have looked at spelt, and they've determined several things. The archaeologists have found, first of all, that spelt is grown in the same manner, in the same type of a variety of grain now that as it was 6,000 years ago. They've been able to trace back the growing and harvesting of spelt 6,000 years ago. But it's only been in the last 35 or 40 years we've had the technology to determine the following. That spelt is a GMO grain, a genetically modified grain. Now, I'm not talking about a hybrid grain, or where you take two grains and combine them and have a new grain grow. That's hybridization. Now, I'm talking about GMO. It is, in fact, a genetically modified grain. We've only had the technology to do that about the last 40 years or so ourselves. And another unique feature of spelt, the grain spelt, is that it's very radiation resistant. How about that? It's a very healthy grain. I eat spelt bread all the time, by the way. I frequently talk about nuclear devices being set off on this planet about 12,000 years ago. This is well known and well understood in archaeology. Mainstream archaeology does not want to talk about it publicly, but it's there. A friend of mine, he retired as a petroleum engineer. He'd been all over the planet in the course of his business and on vacations. I asked him if he'd ever been to Kashmir, that disputed real estate between India and Pakistan where the really nice wool comes from for Kashmir sweaters. He says, "Oh yeah, John, my wife and I were there on vacation one time." I said, "Okay, well tell me, are you aware that one or more nuclear devices were set off there about 12,000 years ago?" He says, "Oh yes, John. They sell trinkets in the local souvenir shops commemorating the nuclear device being set off there 12,000 years ago. It is well known and well understood by the locals. If you go to the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, you'll find an area down there in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula where there's hundreds of acres of green glass covering the desert. Now, most people in high school science know that if you get sand hot enough, it will turn into glass. So what does it take to have the heat of the sun at the surface of the planet? Well, the only thing we're aware of that can do that, and we all became aware of it after August 1945, how do you get that much heat at the surface of the planet? And that's with nuclear devices being set off. And that's, in fact, what happened on the Saudi Arabian Peninsula about 12,000 years ago. A nuclear device was set off, turning the desert into glass. It's right there. You can book a flight, hire a camel or a jeep, and get out there and see the green glass yourself. Anybody can do that. There's areas of Europe where scientists have determined that nuclear devices were set off about 12,000 years ago. This is science. This is not speculation. This is science backed up with hard facts. I sometimes talk about the Mayans. We were hearing so much concern about December 21st, 2012. Remember that? Myself and Professor McKinney spent way too much time dispelling that mythology about one of the many Mayan calendars ending on December 21st, 21st, 2012. There were many Mayan calendars, but the Mayans did more than create calendars. They also had mathematical ability, and they did mathematical calculations to 10 decimal points. I don't know anybody outside of people working in scientific labs and professional mathematicians who do mathematical calculations to 10 decimal points. It's certainly not part of my life, and I doubt anybody listening to me is part of their life unless they're a scientist or an engineer of some sort. But that's in fact what the Mayans were doing thousands of years ago. We're now finding more and more massive structures around the planet. It's only been about 5 years ago that the hills in Bosnia, which people thought were natural phenomenon, have turned out to be man-made structures, man-made buildings. The Valley of the Pyramids in Bosnia. The largest of which, the tallest of which, is still the second tallest building on the planet. How about that? It's only been the last 5 or 6 years that it was determined that this is, in fact, a man-made structure and not a small mountain. A lot of controversy about this. Scientists just in the past few months have determined that the blocks that constitute this pyramid are concrete, not carved stone. There was a PhD scientist from France who has a PhD in concrete engineering who made the same determination about the Great Pyramid at Giza, that those blocks that constitute the Great Pyramid at Giza are not cut limestone, but they're in fact poured concrete. I've read the book, and the book makes perfect sense. When I was a young man, I was involved with commercial construction, commercial concrete construction, so I know more about concrete than most people, having worked with pre-stressed concrete, post-tension concrete, and mild steel reinforced concrete. So I do know a little bit about concrete. Fascinating stuff. It's that the Romans had their own versions of concrete, building a structure in Rome with a concrete dome that's 2,000 years old, having survived wars and earthquakes and Lord knows what all, to still be a very nice intact concrete dome structure in Rome. My DVD, my two DVD set, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, it's 4 hours of lecture in front of a live audience. There's a bibliography at the end of the second disc where I list 12 or 15 books dealing with various aspects of this. I've come to expect that when I'm being interviewed by either a journalist or just an interested person, that their expectation is I can tell them in 50 words or less what they need to know about something that took me 20,000 pages of reading to figure out. Well, and that's kind of ironic, but that is expected. And it can't be done. I mean, I can give a Reader's Digest summary, of course. I can give a summary. But in the absence of everything that goes into understanding this, it's an empty shell of knowledge. Given the severity of what's coming at us, all of you listening to me would be well advised to not only get my DVD and watch those 4 hours, but to start reading, to really, sincerely comprehend what's going on with these matters. Let's see. We missed our bottom of the hour break, so let's see. We will take our bottom of the hour break right now.
Imagine this, over 1,000 individual survival, informational and training documents, all stored on a device that is so small that you can comfortably carry it in your pocket, or even on a lanyard around your neck. RuralSurvival.info proudly offers a SanDisk Cruiser Switch USB 8GB flash drive containing more than 5.2 GB of information. This includes over 570 military field manuals, over 200 U.S. Army correspondence courses, as well as over 350 other useful, how-to and general information documents. Visit RuralSurvival.info and click on the Digital Survival Library link at the top, right side, of any page. U.S. price including priority mail shipping is only $55.67. International priority mail shipping is also available. All major credit cards are accepted, as well as e-checks through PayPal. Visit RuralSurvival.info today.
Ladies and gentlemen, my website is TheLibertyMan.com. That's TheLibertyMan.com. It's a great place to find things you don't know even exist. I've got several things there that will help you achieve your health-related goals. Most likely, you or somebody you know consumes artificial sweeteners in the form of diet sodas and other artificial sweeteners. There's an excellent article there titled The Artificially Sweetened Times. It's about 19 pages of articles talking about the harmful effects of artificial sweeteners on human beings. You'll find a great article on microwave ovens and the harmful effects of radiating your food. Here at the Moore residence, we do not allow a microwave into the premises. After reading this article, you might want to cut the plug off yours and use it for a Faraday cage. It would be great for that. You'll also find an energy cleaner for sale. I use mine every night. My friend Tim Spencer uses his every night. Most Americans, most of the time, have issues with either back pain or getting a great night's sleep, or both. That's where the energy cleaner comes in. It puts out a healing electrostatic signal. You can read up on the research and development of the energy cleaner at my website. You can read the testimonials of the people who use it at my website, thelibertyman.com. It's only $285, shipping included. You can order it right from my website, thelibertyman.com. I take PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. If you want to send me a check or a money order, my address is at my website, thelibertyman.com. I feel so strongly about the energy cleaner, have such confidence in it, that I offer, it's not the manufacturer, it's me personally, I offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't get the pain relief you're looking for, if you don't sleep better, pack it up, ship it back, I refund your money, no questions asked. $285 shipping included. Here's the total free order line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, twice, slowly, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. It is the first day of the year. Happy New Year. First day of January, 2015. We have a caller on hold here from area code 702. If you have a question or comment, speak up. Otherwise, caller, you can remain silent. And that caller wants to remain silent. That's fine. Just listen. The call number is 516-387-1823. It's a fine line to live what might be considered a normal life while preparing for the end of the world as we know it. I keep referring back to the Navy veterans. They do not live a life of fear and anguish. No, they live a fun, full, productive life. They retire from the Navy. They make a decision to purchase their place in the Ozarks. They move there and they start setting up their hobby farm. They start a new career. Your average military retiree is between 40 and 45 years old. And they start a new life with a new career and developing their hobby farm, raising their family, becoming part of the community, and so forth, engaging in various pursuits that they want to engage in, whether it's hunting or fishing or going to sporting events or playing softball, whatever it might be. That's a good thing. That's a good way to do it, quite frankly. It's a healthy way to do it. And that's what I encourage, is people to look at their life and see what would it take for them to do the same thing. Now, granted, if you're a retiree, a Navy, or any veteran retiree, you've got a pension coming in, which is going to help tremendously with the financial part of it. I don't doubt that whatsoever. It takes some of the economic edge off and the economic fear out of moving hundreds, if not thousands, of miles to the Arkansas, Missouri Ozarks and starting over. But it can be done. It can be done. There's going to be hardship involved. It would be foolish for me to deny there's not going to be hardship. Of course, there's going to be hardship. There's going to be financial struggles. There's going to be a starting over in a new community where you may know one or two people, you may not know anybody. That's not easy. So how do you do that? Well, let's do that. Do a little rundown here. We got about 10 minutes. If that's a consideration, moving to the Arkansas, Missouri Ozarks, if that's a consideration, I would urge you to pick out some areas that you think might be suitable for who you are and the life you want to live, and take some time to tour that area. Don't just spend the day. Spend at least 3 days in any area, any community you think you might want to move to. And check out the terrain, the employment opportunities, the shopping opportunities, the churches, the schools. If you have children or grandchildren, they're going to be in school. Get a feel for the area in terms of the culture and the climate and the people to see if it's a place that you want to habitate. That's very important. 3 days is pretty minimal. Before I would leave, I would get copies of the local telephone directories. I would subscribe to the local newspaper or papers and have those sent to your current home. If you're going to be searching for a parcel of real estate, take your time. Real estate in most of the Ozarks is very inexpensive for the following reason. There's no jobs. Not like you've got in the big cities anyway. A person who has skills, especially portable skills, is always going to find work. If you're a diesel mechanic, you can take those portable skills anywhere in the United States. Or an automobile mechanic, you can take those skills anywhere in the United States and have employment instantly. Take your time. Do your homework. If you're looking at a specific parcel of land, I'd encourage you to drive at least 1 mile to the four compass points all around that parcel of land to see what the neighborhood's like. Are there beat-up mobile homes with several disabled cars and trucks in the front yard and trash laying all over the place? Huge red flag. People that don't take care of their property are huge red flags, typically indicating some kind of substance abuse and maybe criminal activity. I've been a criminal investigator for 41 years. I know what I'm talking about. So danger, danger, red flag, red flag. If you only see one place like that, I wouldn't be too concerned. But if you see a small community of three or four or five of these places all clustered next to each other, I'd want to be a good distance away from there. I really would. be aware of property values, taxation, the quality of the schools, all these things. How close you are or not to a military base. Some people, especially veterans, want to be near a military base because they have access to health care and shopping on the base that civilians don't, retired military people do. Lots of considerations. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a rush. Take your time and do it right. For most people, purchasing a parcel of real estate is something they only do anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 times in their life. That's most Americans most of the time. There's obviously exceptions to that. I'm one of them. But it's a big deal. The decision to purchase a parcel of real estate for you to live on is a really big deal. Check out, make sure you got water rights when you buy this parcel. Now, in the Ozarks, typically the mineral rights have been sold off decades before to various mining interests. Well, get over it. The typical mining in the Ozarks anyway is deep underground mines, so you'll never know they're there anyway. Lead mines and so forth. In the area I am, it's lead mines. And there's shafts, horizontal shafts, where you can drive a very large dump truck 18, 20 miles in one direction in some of these shafts where they follow the seam of lead to extract it. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do about that, and chances are you'll never have any knowledge that there is a mine shaft underneath your property. It's not easy. I am not going to sit here on the 1st of January 2015 and tell you it will be easy. No, it's going to be tough. It'll be tough on you financially, emotionally, spiritually, all those things to make a move. Depending on where you're coming from, it's going to be a little more or a little less tougher. If you're moving here from Northern Missouri, you're not going to find that much difference in the culture, especially if you already live in the country, or Kansas, or Nebraska, or Illinois. You might be, if you're coming from the East Coast or West Coast, you're going to be in for some very pleasant shocks. For example, if you want to build a house or a barn or any kind of structure, in most of the 113 counties in Missouri, there's about 5 or 6 exceptions. There's no building permit, no inspections, no building code. You just build whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want to build it. How about that? And people from the East Coast and West Coast are shocked to know that human beings still have that kind of freedom here in the United States. Now, Missouri and Arkansas are both very gun-friendly states. Missouri and Arkansas are both states where owning machine guns is legal, sawed-off shotguns, sawed-off rifles, if you get the proper license and pay the proper transfer tax. You can own all the machine guns you want to own in Missouri and Arkansas. And I know a number of machine gun collectors. It's a fun hobby. It's an expensive hobby. But it's something you can participate in if you choose to. And out here in the Arkansas, Missouri, Ozarks, the majority of men and most women, they know that hunting and fishing is God's gift to mankind. And they are consumed with that activity. That is their passion. That's what they go to bed thinking about. That's what they wake up looking forward to. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And just be prepared that if you visit the Arkansas, Missouri, Ozarks, that's part of the culture. That's who we are down here. When I was a preteen and a young teen, I felt the same way about hunting and fishing. I got away from that by the time I was a junior in high school. But I'm glad I had that experience of learning to hunt and fish. It was a great experience for a young man to have that, gain that knowledge and have that experience of hunting and fishing. It was a very fun time in my life. The Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks is a massive area. If you do a Wikipedia search, put two words in the Wikipedia search box, Ozark Plateau, you'll find a map of the Ozark Plateau. It's tens of thousands of square miles. It's bigger than several states up in the Northeast. Several of the original 13 colonies would easily fit inside the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks with much room left over. Well, we're nearing the end of this first show of the year here. It's amazing how time flies. It is January 1st, 2015. This past year, my wife and I were talking about it yesterday, it just flew by. It was amazingly fast, and I have no doubt whatsoever this coming year will be just as fast. So hang on to your hats, buckle your seatbelts, get ready. We're off to a brand new year. Tomorrow morning, Friday the 2nd of January, we'll have Ann Morrison on Republic Broadcasting. We'll have Dr. Phil Myers on Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, get your medical supplies, your energy cleaner, now while you can, your firearms and ammunition. Never ever give up your guns. Have a fun, safe, productive day. And we're going to wrap up the show with Richie Havens, Woodstock, Illinois, Woodstock, New York, 1969.
Are you sitting comfortable, two square on your body? Then we'll begin.
Guitar of Mike, please. Guitar Mike. Freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long way from my home, yeah, yeah, Lord. Singing freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Yeah, long, long, long way, way from my home. Yeah, yeah. Clap your hands, 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 yeah, clap your hands. Hey, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. telephone in my bosom, and I can call him from my heart. I got a telephone in my bosom, and I can call him from my heart. When I need my brother, when I need my father, hey, mother, hey, sister, yeah. When I need my brother, hey, mother.